Hare Krishna Vasya Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satya Vachaya Namo Namaha. Jai Tulsi Maharani. All right, time for class. Okay, Nimai. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Janabalava Girivaradhari Gopi Janabalava Girivaradhari Gopi Janabalava Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Osipteta Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace of Ayachananda Bhaktivananda Gosami Maharashila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Parabha Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikapata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavanam Ki Jai. Vachiridam Ki Jai. Navadeepdam Ki Jai. Jagannathaswami Ki Jai. Yamunamai Ki Jai. Shrimati Galasi Devi Ki Jai. Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories is some of the devotees, all glories is some of the devotees, all glories is some of the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay, reading from Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, text 4. So, Om Gana Tivadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya. Chakshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So you can repeat. Dadati Pratigrinati Guyam Akyati Vrishyati Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva Shadvidham Priti Lakshanam Dadati Pratigrin Dadati Pratigrinati Guyam Akhyati Pritchati
Guyam Akhyati Pritchati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva Shadvidham Priti Lakshanam Dadati Pratigrinati
Dadati Pratigrinati
Guyam Akhyati Pritchati
Guyam Akhyati Pritchati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva Shadvidham Priti Lakshanam
Advidham Priti Lakshanam
Dadati Pratigrinati
Dadati Pratigrinati
Guyam Atyati Pritchati
Guyam Atyati Pritchati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Shadvidham Priti Lakshanam
Advidham Priti Lakshanam.
Okay.
Dadati Pratigrinati
Dadati Pratigrinati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva Chaiva
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Sadvidham Pratilakshanam
Sadvidham Pratilakshanam
Dadati Pratigrinati
Dadati Pratigrinati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Sadvidham Pratilakshanam
Sadvidham Pratilakshanam.
Dadati Pratigrinati
Dadati Pratigrinati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Sadvidham Pratilakshanam
Sadvidham Pratilakshanam.
Ladies,
Dadati
Pratigrinati
Guyam Akhyati Prichati
Bhunkte Bhujyate Chaiva
Sadvidham
Pratilakshanam
Dadati Pratigrinati
Dadati Pratigrinati
Guyam Akhyati
Prichati
Okay. The Dati gives charity.
Gives charity.
Pratigrinati accepts in return. Guyam,
confidential topics.
Akyati
explains.
Prichati
inquires.
Bunte
eats.
Bojiate
feeds.
Cha
also.
Eva
certainly.
Shat
vidham.
Six kinds.
Priti
of love.
Lakshanam.
Symptoms. Okay, in translation. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities. One, giving charity to the devotees. Two, accepting from the devotees whatever they offer in return. Three, opening one's mind to the devotees. Four, inquiring from them about the confidential service of the Lord. Five, honoring prasad or spiritual food given by the devotees. And six, feeding the devotees with prasad. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is Guyam Akyati Prichati. When a devotee distributes prasad, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasad as the Lord's grace received through the pure devotees. That doesn't mean you have to eat everything. You honor it. It's not that someone offers you like a plate with 20 sweet balls that you have to eat them all. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasad, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called bhunte bhojyate choiva. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel. And over the feast, he openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend how he should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Thus, whenever there is a dealing of priti, or love, and intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees. Sangha Chagat Sato Vritahe. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. This society was started single-handedly, but because people are coming forward and dealing with the give-and-take policy, the society is now expanding all over the world. We're glad that people are donating very liberally to the development of the society's activities, and people are also eagerly accepting whatever humble contribution we are giving them in the shape of books and magazines dealing strictly with the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. We sometimes hold Hare Krishna festivals and invite life members and friends to participate in the feasting by accepting prasad. Although most of our members come from the higher rungs of society, they nonetheless come and take whatever little prasad we are able to offer them. Sometimes the members and supporters inquire very confidentially about the methods of performing devotional service, and we try to explain this. In this way, our society is successfully spreading all over the world, and the intelligentsia of all countries is gradually appreciating our Krishna conscious activities. The life of the Krishna Conscious Society is nourished by these six types of loving exchanges amongst the members. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON. Because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 62, it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. It is often said that a man is known by his company, and if an ordinary man associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. The understanding of Krishna consciousness is innate in every living entity and is already developed to some extent when the living entity takes a human body. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila, 22nd chapter, text 107, Nichasita Krishna Prem Sadya Kavanai Shavanadi Shudak Chitte Karaye Udai. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, the living entity naturally awakens. Since Krishna consciousness is inherent in every living entity, everyone should be given a chance to hear about Krishna. Simply by hearing and chanting Shravanam, Kirtanam, one's heart is directly purified and one's original Krishna consciousness is immediately awakened. Krishna consciousness is not artificially imposed upon the heart. It is already there. When one chants the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the heart is cleansed of all mundane contamination. In the first stanza of his Sri Shikshashtaka, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaitadarpanam arjanam bhava mahadvagni nirapanam shreya kaira vichandrika vitaranam vijavadu jivanam anandam buddhivardhanam pratipatam pranam ratasvadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, a repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon, is the life of all transcendental knowledge, and increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So let me comment here. I mean, first Prabhupada starts talking about the loving exchanges in the purport, and then he goes on to talking about the holy name, which is quite interesting. So what it indicates to me is that in order to get people to chant Hare Krishna, we have to attract them. And in the beginning, because the conditioned soul has the jaundice-like consciousness of a conditioned soul, then he's not attracted to the holy names. So therefore, the attraction to the holy name comes from the association of devotees. Just like we read yesterday, Pramanda Pramate Kanna Vagyavan Jivku Krishna Prasadipoy Vakti Latabij, that the living entity is wandering within all the different species in the material universe, and eventually, by the mercy of Krishna, he comes in contact with the Guru, and the Guru gives him the creeper, or the seed, actually, Bij means seed. The seed of devotion, which later grows into a creeper, and of course, by the watering process, the creeper grows more and more and more, pierces the covering of the material world, and gives its flowers to Krishna's lotus feet in the spiritual world. So, so the whole point is to encourage people to associate with devotees, somehow or other. So, these loving exchanges are the best encouragement. As it's been mentioned, and I mentioned it several times before, sociology or sociologists of religion have studied why people join religious societies in the modern world especially. And basically it's called social networking. Just like you see, many times if you get a devotee to join the movement, his friends will also join, or his family will also join, because there's a social network. And people have to be attracted to the people who are presenting Krishna consciousness. See, that's the people who are presenting Krishna consciousness, for all intents and purposes, represent Krishna to people. They're not Krishna, obviously. but they represent Krishna. You know, as they say, you shall know someone, Jesus Christ even said, you shall know someone by their fruits. Because we're all fruits, anyway. And some of us are overripe. Some of us are almost ripe. Some of us are still green. So, we should be ripe fruits. Not overripe means rotten. And green means you just haven't gotten it yet. So at least you should be almost ripe. So, that's how people know us. And what people are looking for in the modern day of age, more practically than any other age, because of the disconnect that people have with their families and with their friends. I mean, because nowadays people, the main occupational activity, at least for young people, is just playing computer games. It's like I was in the school talking to the students, and they were asking me, what is it like in the spiritual world? What is there? And I said, you can have any way you like, you can have that particular type of body because that's based upon your love for Krishna. And I said, the only thing that's not there is video games. And all the kids went, oh, I'm staying here in the material world for video games. Because they spend a lot of times with this technology. In addition, the families are pretty much split up nowadays. Traditionally, you had the extended family, you know, where you had a lot of love within the family. I mean, a lot of love. Where you grew up and there was your grandmother and maybe your great-grandmother too at the same time, your aunts and your uncles, and even the village relationship. You know, first time I went to Fiji, I was introduced to people who say, well, this is my cousin, this is my brother. I said, wow, you got a lot of brothers here. You know, like 25 brothers. Yeah, your mother must, your father must have been really busy to have that many children. And they explain it's the village relationship. You know, when one lives in a village, you know your neighbors, and you just participate with them. You read the Ramayana at night. It's a very sweet thing. But now, I mean, do we even know the neighbors who live next door here very well? I mean, you may say hello to them when you go by, but you know, do we really know them? No, probably not. Not that much of the neighbors here. Or anywhere. I mean, it's just like we're living in little isolated cubicles in the modern society. It's like that. Yeah. Of course, if you live in the Hare Krishna temple, you really know your neighbors because the walls are so thin. You know, in the temple ashram, that you can hear what's going on. And was it a Kalasambar or someone told me they made the walls deliberately thin so no one could watch get into nonsense. Because you could hear what's going on, and you'd put your ear to the wall. And the ashram, what are they doing? What Bollywood film are they watching? Satyamevo Vijayate. That's the expose, of course, of India. So, so therefore, that was the tradition, you know. So you really had loving exchanges. So, in one sense, it was almost harder to get someone to join the Hare Krishna movement. But they were already in the Hare Krishna movement because they were chanting the Ramayana or hearing the stories of Krishna at night. Even Krishna heard the story of the Ramayana at night. I told that previously. And when Krishna was taking rest at night, his mother would read him bedtime stories, just like my mother would read me bedtime stories, not about Krishna, but about, I don't know, Mickey Mouse or something like that. Oh, no, Cinderella or some stupid thing like that. Mm-hmm. Or Hansel and Gretel. You know those stories? Yeah. So, but Krishna would have his mother, Yashoda, read him stories about Ram. And then Krishna got so much into it when he heard the stories, he would stand on his bed and actually relive his pastimes as Ram. And he would just pick up his bow, make believe he had a bow, and start screaming, where's that rascal Ravana? I'm going to kill him. And Mother Yashoda was just like shocked, you know, what's happening here with my boy Krishna? But in any case, the point is, there was a lot of love. I mean, in the village, all the kids had so many mothers. You know, people asked me the question the other day about, you know, if you can become the mother or father of Krishna, does that mean that there are many Nanda Maharajas and many Yashodas? Remember that question? And I said, no. It's like a village relationship, you know. Just like you pass the kid around, you know, just like sometimes we go to people's houses, we go to different houses here, and, you know, the different children are passed around. You know, Veena likes to hold the kids. You know, just, I want to see where the kid is usually with Veena. So, a mother wannabe. So anyway, and whereas the mothers who actually have the kids are happy to give the kid away. So what else? Anyway, and that also helps with the household life too, because basically it's very hard for just two people to bring up a child because it's very stressful. You know, just like people look, I mean, just like sometimes we talk to people about what it means to get married in this mature world, you know, in the modern day and age, and they just think, you know, sweet, the wife has a nice smile, she cooks nicely, she cleans my laundry, the baby looks so sweet. But you just see the sweet part of the baby. There's also the crying at night, keeping you up, going sleepless nights, having to go to work the next day without any sleep, because all night long you heard, I mean, I get upset if in the next room someone's alarm clock goes off. But, like, yeah, your alarm clock goes off. And you know, so I just like, what the hell's going on? But imagine if it was, if I had to hear a baby all night long. I mean, just, woo. So, anyway, so that's why the extended family is good, because it helps with child raising, that the poor mother doesn't have to spend sleepless nights losing her mind, eventually having depression, you know, having to take antidepressants. Doesn't that happen sometimes?
All the time.
You know, even they have this thing called the postpartum depression, PPD. And because it's just a very nice situation. You share and share alike. You know, someone needs some help, someone needs some prasadam, like a family member dies, and you can't cook for yourself, other people cook for you. It's a very wonderful... So the modern day and age, getting back to the point, you really don't have that. Everybody's just in their little cubicle. And so if religions want to become successful, in other words, make members, they have to address that basic need of people. People have basic needs. I mean, usually the need for water and air and other stuff like that is being provided by society, sometimes not, and food. But the need for, you know, loving exchanges amongst people is definitely lacking in modern society. I mean, where do you go if you want to meet someone? You go on the internet, you know, VaishnavaMarriage.com. And isn't it? I mean, that's crazy. And previously, you know, your parents knew so many people, you know, you could have a swayamvara. They say, you know, my daughter, Kishori, wants to get married. So call all the eligible men in Fiji and they all come and compete. I don't know how they would compete. They would just argue with each other. Whoever won the argument. And they say, she's a doctor, all these good qualities, and they'd come. And, you know, like Draupadi, for example. So it's no problem finding a husband. I mean, at least if someone was half attractive. So modern day and age, yeah, you go on the internet. You know, so many times the ladies ask me, how do I find a husband in Christian countries? I said, how do I know? And then they ask the sannyasi, will you please look for a husband for me? So the poor sannyasi, who's supposed to be renouncing this material world, is going everywhere looking for all sorts of eligible men. You know, everywhere he goes, the brahmacharis are afraid of him. Temple presidents are kicking him out because he's stealing the brahmacharis to get married to his daughters, his spiritual daughters. That's true. I mean, I got banned from one country because of that. Yeah, it was Finland. I got banned from the country because I got, you know, people married. So, you know, because the poor temple president, he's dependent on brahmacharis for money. The brahmacharis, in the age of Kali, the brahmacharis are the ones who bring the money to the temple. In many temples, and not everywhere. And so, you know, if you get a brahmachari married, it's just like the worst possible headache, anxiety for the temple president, because one less collector out there. So, anyway, so in this day and age, if you want to get someone married, you know, it's all those, you know, you get this. Call a sannyasi, go on the internet. You know, those are two options. All right, my daughter needs to get married. Okay. Let me put it down on my computer list of all the eligible girls. So when you go to a place, you just pull out your computer and show the pictures of all the girls you're supposed to find husbands for. And it's like that Chitraleka, you know, showing pictures of all the eligible men to Usha, but in the opposite, obviously. Mm. So, you know, the society is really topsy-turvy with everybody living in the city. So it's our, getting back to the point, then we should understand to make devotees, and other religious institutions have understood this very well, but ISKCON we haven't really understood too well. To make devotees, we need to give people these loving exchanges. You know, support, you know, the mind and competence, prasadam and all these other things. If someone gets sick, you go to the hospital, etc., like that. And we're thinking, oh, to make devotees, we just have to speak the philosophy very nicely. I mean, if you run into someone who's highly intellectual, looking for the absolute truth, you know, some searcher, and I haven't run into many people like that nowadays. In the 1960s, you do have a lot of people like that. You know, there was a lot of people searching because of the war going on, because it was just the general mood in society that people were looking for the absolute truth. But nowadays, I mean, you can explain Bhagavad Gita to people until you're blue in the face and say, surrender, and it can work with them. So you have to give them prasadam, a nice loving society, you know, International Society for Krishna. That's why I probably call it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's interesting, you don't really find other religions terming their religion as society, isn't it? And knowing you don't hear the Mormon Society for Mormon Consciousness or the Muslim Society for Muslim Consciousness. You just don't, you know, but Prabhupada was very specific in his term society. Society and movement. You know, you see Prabhupada's nomenclature is very precise. He knew what he was doing. So society means the members support each other. And this is exactly what Prabhupada is saying here in the purport. That keeps the devotees in the movement, because if you have loving exchanges, in addition to ghee, that we were talking about the other day, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you give your servant ghee with basmati rice, he'll never leave. So if we give our devotees ghee, they won't leave. As soon as we feed them oil, they're out the door. Or boiled vegetables like they're feeding me. Anyway, but that's what I want. So, you know, if we give them these loving exchanges, which include nice prasadam, nice tasty prasadam, and, you know, people will stay. And then people will come. I mean, that's the secret. That's the real secret to preaching. You know, of course, we've been talking about different things like presenting Krishna consciousness according to different cultures. So that's actually a good point, too. But ultimately, what's going to make the devotees the loving exchanges? That's, we should fix our minds on that. And that means be ready to give prasadam. And that's an easy thing. We do that already. And accept prasadam. We do that already for sure. But the hardest one is actually to allow people to reveal their minds and confidence. I mean, not only the devotees, like I mentioned the other night, that, you know, how many of us actually have people we can speak to in confidence and trust and reveal our mind. People are not going to pass judgment on us. People are not going to preach to us. You know, I mean, it's very hard to find someone. I mean, you think about it. Or people are not going to get angry with you or something. Or people are not going to go on the internet and report you. Or people are not going to write, you know, the GBC body and report you. You know, how many of us have people like that? I mean, maybe some. Most of us probably don't even have anyone like that. And so we have to be ready to do that for each other and also for the people who are just coming to Krishna consciousness, because you find that it's quite an interesting phenomenon. When someone's first coming to Krishna consciousness, I mean, at least this is what I encounter, that people talk to me about their ordinary problems too. Like, you know, the health problems, problems with their wife or husband. You know, sannyasi has to get involved in marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. Now, kiss your wife. Now, don't go that far. But, you know, all sorts of issues, you know, that a sannyasi normally wouldn't have to get involved in. I have to get involved in, because when people come to Krishna consciousness, they actually are looking for a priest or a minister that they can act, who will minister them. I mean, one of the problems with the setup of the present temples in ISKCON, talking a little politics here, is that the temple president is also, in addition to being the chief minister or whatever, not minister, because you have that, when you talk about chief minister in India, that means the person in charge of a particular state in India. Mm. But in addition to being the minister of the temple, or the priest of the temple, or the Brahmin of the temple, he's also the administrator of the temple. He's the chief administrator. So, I mean, you go to the temple president, but is he thinking of my welfare, or is he thinking of, you know, what he's going to get for the temple out of me? You know, it's like your boss at work. Would you really want your boss to be your guru, or your guru to be your boss? It just doesn't work out like that. You know, you go to work and then... It's just a conflict of interest. I mean, even under ordinary guidelines in society, there's conflicts of interest. I mean, usually you wouldn't want your father to be your boss at work or your guru to be your boss at work. In the same way, there has to be a division of labor. You understand the Krishna consciousness movement. Division of labor means varnashram, like Prabhupada said. Prabhupada was very strong on this varnashram to make devotees. Prabhupada said we should... I was reading, what was it, 2 days ago, I was reading one of Prabhupada's letters to the political devotees who wanted to run for office in different areas, and Prabhupada said, you should preach varnashram. And I was thinking, why? You know, won't people think that's weird? But no, because varnashram means a division of labor, basically. And a very clear-cut division of labor. Like this person, getting back to the temple, this person is the minister or the Brahmin or whatever who I can go to reveal my mind, and he has no other interest other than to help me. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, you have someone in the temple who has no other interest other than my welfare. He's not thinking, how can we pay the bills? Better get him to do the deity service. If he doesn't do the deity service, then they'll know when to do the deity service. I mean, it's natural if you're administering a temple, you have to think about all those things. You know, so let's say someone comes to you and says, I'm having a lot of spiritual trouble. I would like to read Prabhupada's books. You know, take an hour a day to read Prabhupada's books. And you know that he needs to wash the pots, he needs to do his RT, he needs to do that, or else, you know, things are going to fall apart in the temple. So therefore you say, you know, you can read Prabhupada's books by service. Service is more important. Actually, when you serve, it's automatically revealed to you everything in the heart. Isn't it? And then you quote the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmando, Brahmanahutam, Brahma. And then ultimately, Brahma Karma Samadhinam. That by serving Krishna, it's samadhi. So service. And as far as your chanting, you know, just do your chanting while you're driving the devotees out in Sankirtan. Krishna will understand, you know, it's a preaching movement, it's a Sankirtan movement. And so, you know, the japa is less important. So, it sounds like funny, but these things do happen. And then new devotees come to the temple and you work their little fingers to the bone, you know. You know, and they never get to go to, and sometimes new devotees get to go to class less than old devotees because they're working so hard in the kitchen in the morning. And so they never learn the philosophy of Krishna consciousness until they bloop. And when they bloop, they get a chance to read Prabhupada's books for the first time. I mean, I may be exaggerating things, but it's, you know, sometimes you have to exaggerate to make the point. So the temple, we need that person we can go to. Because nowadays, it's interesting, nowadays they've come up with another system called ombudsperson. But that's actually a compromise. It's not actually the Vedic system. The ombudsperson is a person you go to when you have a complaint about the temple. Or about ISKCON, or about your GVC or something like that. And then he anonymously presents your complaint to the person you're complaining about. You know, so-and-so is complaining. You know, I just got a note the other day about someone who wants to be a guru. And he said, There's an anonymous complaint about this person that you're supporting to be a guru in ISKCON. What do you want to do about it? And I said, well, who said it? Let him contact me, you know. I'd be happy to hear his complaint. And so, anyway, so the Varnashram system where you really have Brahman. So if you have Brahmins, a lot of these different needs or a lot of these different procedures like the Dati, Prati, Grunati, Guyamakyati, Prichiti are fulfilled. If you have a class of Brahmins, that's the point I'm making. Anyway, and then people will stay. I mean, if you love someone or have loving relationships, you'll never leave. I mean, why do people get divorced? Because the relationship's not loving anymore. The wife refuses to stay in the kitchen and cook all day long. I'm just joking. Right? Like Prabhupada said, if to have a good marriage, when the husband comes home, the wife should have a big smile on her face. No matter what happened during the day, you know, maybe the worst possible, the kid may have vomited all over the house or whatever. The Shingananda likes this class. We'll make him a copy. Give him a copy he can distribute to all of his friends too. So, this is what Prabhupada said, that no matter what happened in the day, the husband comes in, she's nicely dressed, has prasadam ready, and a big smile on her face. And that's important. I mean, and then marriages will be very strong. Anyway, enough advertisements for my own viewpoint of Krishna conscious marriages. Just sure he's thinking, maybe I should get a second opinion about these things. Like a doctor, you know, some doctor gives you a diagnosis. I think you need a second opinion. So anyway, but Prabhupada actually said that, you know, that. So you know, that's part of loving exchanges. That no matter how you feel, you deal lovingly. That's the point I'm making. Whether it's a man or a woman, I mean, and the husband also shouldn't come home from a hard day at work and just say, get out of my way. Where's the food? He shouldn't be like, you know, like, was it Tarzan or something like that? You know, they both have to be loving like that, regardless of what else is happening in life. Love means that regardless of what else is happening in your life, you still act lovingly. That's a challenge. Isn't it? It's like, no matter what else is happening, you chant your rounds. Even if the whole world is falling apart, you chant your rounds. So that's love. Symptom of love is you continue doing in spite of other things disturbing you. Like I give that Tatenu Kampam Sushimachwana, that verse that Lord Brahma spoke in the Bhagavatam, that you tolerate all these things and you go on serving Krishna with your body, mind, and words. And then you become the fit recipient for pure devotional service. So that replies to Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, and replies to our relationship with each other and our different relationships. So that's loving exchanges. Anyway, so then Prabhupada, after he explained a little bit about these loving exchanges, he talks about the chanting of the Lord's holy names, because when you have loving exchange, you'll be very enthusiastic to chant Hare Krishna together. Okay, we'll continue. Not only is the chanter of the Maha Mantra purified, but the heart of anyone who happens to hear the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is also cleansed. Even the souls embodied in lower animals, insects, trees, and other species of life also become purified and prepared to become fully Krishna conscious simply by hearing the transcendental vibration. This was explained by Thakur Haridas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him how living entities lower than human beings can be delivered from material bondage, Haridas Thakur said that the chanting of the holy names is so powerful that even if one chants in the remotest parts of the jungle, the trees and animals will advance in Krishna consciousness simply by hearing the vibration. This was actually proved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he passed through the forest of Jatakonda. At that time, the tigers, snakes, deer, and all other animals abandoned their natural animosity and began chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. Of course, we cannot imitate the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we should follow in his footsteps. We are not powerful enough to enchant the lower animals such as tigers, snakes, cats, and dogs, or entice them to dance. But by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can actually convert many people throughout the world to Krishna consciousness. Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving charity, the Dadati principle. By the same token, one must also follow the Pratigrihanati principle and be willing and ready to receive the transcendental gift. One should inquire about the Krishna consciousness movement and open his mind in order to understand the situation of this material world. Thus, the Guhyam Akhyati Prichati principles can be served. It's interesting how Prabhupada understands Guhyam Akhyati Prichati in two ways. One is, you know, inquiring submissively and serving the spiritual master. And another way is just like the regular dealings between the devotees. So there's different levels that you can understand this particular verse. And Prabhupada proved the point that if you simply chant Hare Krishna, people will be benefited, because when Prabhupada went to Tompkins Square Park in New York, I mean, that's all he did. And he chanted, and the people joined just from that. And just a simple thing like that, people joined. So, of course, Prabhupada's chanting was pure, like Lord Chaitanya's chanting. So our chanting, because it's not as pure, we don't have the same effect. I mean, if we go down to Tompkins Square Park or we go somewhere here and we chant, just sit down and chant alone. Prabhupada was alone in the beginning. I mean, we will not have the same type of success as Srila Prabhupada unless we become purified. It's all about the pure chanting. Because it implants, the pure chanting implants the bhakti lata bija in people's hearts. The impure chanting, let's say, this is a heavy thing. Let's say if you're chanting and you have some impure desires, then the bija or seed of those impure desires can actually affect people. That's why it's stated that you should not hear the chanting of Hare Krishna from those who are not sarpo chisti tapayam. Avaishnava mukod yadam putam harikatam mutam. Shravananaiva kartavyam. If you hear the chanting of Hare Krishna from those who are not Vaishnavas, or not on the, at least Madhyamadikaris, then it may be, it is, like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. In other words, milk is very nice, but there's also a little poison in there at the same time. So in addition to the Bhakti Lata Bija, we have the Karma Bija, and the Jnana Bija, and all sorts of different little Bijas, weeds. You know, seeds of weeds that have been planted. Just like in when you're gardening, sometimes the seeds of the weeds, are blown around by the wind. And just look in your garden, and it's called a volunteer plant. Anyone's heard about that before? The name is volunteer, that you didn't plant it, so it's just volunteering coming up without your knowing about it. And you confuse the weed with the actual creeper. With the vegetables. So the members of the Krishna International Society for Krishna Consciousness invite the society's members and supporters to dine with them when they hold love feasts in all their branches every Sunday. Now the word love feast is quite interesting. It's not a Vedic word. The reason Prabhupada says that is because that's in the 1960s and 70s when Prabhupada was preaching, and the hippies, they would have love feasts. So we changed the nomenclature of our Sunday feast to love feast. Nowadays, it may not be so applicable to call the Sunday feast a love feast. Especially in Fiji, they may think you're going to eat each other or something like that. That was there. Prabhupada said in the primitive countries, the cannibals had love feasts and they would eat each other, you know, or eat their grandfather. They talk about how that's how they got rid of their old people. They would take them on the roof and throw them from the roof to soften them up. You got to soften the meat first. And they would and they would have a love feast with their grandfather. And sometimes it was understood in these cultures, when you ate someone, you got their qualities. And I was told in Fiji, like if you ate, your enemy was very strong and everything like that, or intelligent, you would get his qualities by eating him. We don't suggest that. So anyway, we don't really now to call our Sunday feast the love feast is just not, I mean, it's hard for people to relate to that. We usually call it, you know, Sunday get together, Sunday service, or something like that, or sharing. Many interested people come to Anna Prasada whenever possible. I mean, because in the 1960s, it was mainly hippies who were coming to the temple. And they were dressed, I mean, it was really interesting. And some of them hadn't taken a bath in like 3 weeks or something like that. So they, I remember one temple I was at, these hippies that would just come to eat prasadam. And the temple president wanted them to come to class before, you know, before the prasadam. So he insisted they come to class, and I was sitting down giving the class. And it smelled so bad I couldn't speak from their socks. Basically the socks that they hadn't changed for years. I was going, I mean, it was so, yeah, you can't imagine what it's like giving class in a room full of people who hadn't changed their socks. So, so I said, don't make them come anymore to the class. Just feed them. All right. In this way, both the members of society and the general public are benefited. People should give up the company of so-called yogis, jnanis, karmis, and philanthropists because their association can benefit no one. If one really wants to attain the goal of human life, he should associate with the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement because it is the only movement that teaches one how to develop love of God. Religion is the special function of human society and it constitutes the distinction between human society and animal society. Animal society has no church, mosque, or religious system. In all parts, maybe here in New Zealand, you know, they have these like hotels for pets. You seen them? Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a little church there for the pets on Sunday. They have everything else. I mean, animal hotels and retreat centers for animals. Animal society has no church, mosque, or religious system. In all parts of the world, however, downtrodden human society may be. There is some system of religion. Even tribal aborigines in the jungles also have a system of religion. When a religious system develops and turns into love of God, it is successful. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 6, Savai pum samparo dharma yato bhakti rohsa jaya haituki et pratyata yayatma supersedite. That supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. If the members of human society actually want peace of mind, tranquility, and friendly relations between men and nations, they must follow the Krishna conscious system of religion by which they can develop their dormant love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as people do so, their minds will immediately be filled with peace and tranquility. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur warns all devotees engaged in broadcasting the Krishna consciousness movement not to speak to the impersonalist Mayavadis who are always determined to oppose such theistic movements. I mean, the Mayavadis are under different guises. For example, the Arya Samajis, they're actually Mayavadis. Well, they're Karma Mimamsis, but it's a Mayavadi interpretation of Karma Mimamsa philosophy. The world is full of Mayavadis and atheists, and the political parties of the world take advantage of the Mayavada and other atheistic philosophies to promote materialism. Sometimes, they even back a strong party to oppose the Krishna conscious movement. The Mayavadis, actually, it's an interesting story. Everybody knows who Sonia Gandhi is. She's actually a Catholic. You may not know that. She was told by one of the past popes, you better get rid of this movement. So fortunately she's not in charge and won't be, because her party's going to be out of power very soon. That's Sonia Gandhi. You know, she wasn't born in India, for those of you who don't know. She's Italian lady. That's why she was Catholic. So the Mayavadis and other atheists do not want the Krishna conscious movement to develop because it educates people in Krishna consciousness. Such is the policy of the atheist. There's no benefit in feeding a snake milk and bananas because the snake will never be satisfied. On the contrary, by taking milk and bananas, The snake simply becomes more poisonous. Kevalam visha vardhanam. So, of course, that's the offense of preaching the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless. The glories of the holy name. That's one of the offenses. If a snake is given milk to drink, its poison simply increases. For a similar reason, we should not disclose our minds to the serpent, Mayavadis, and Karmis. Such disclosures will never help. It is best to avoid association with them completely and never ask them about anything confidential because they cannot give good advice. Of course, we don't want to take this out of context and advise devotees not to go to a psychiatrist when they need to go to a psychiatrist. I know sometimes people have quoted this, well, my psychiatrist is a Karmi, how is he going to know about anything? Well, first of all, your disease is that, you know, you have schizophrenia, I mean some, you're manic depressive, so you better go to a doctor, because if you just chant Hare Krishna, you won't be able to chant nicely, and you're going to be in disturbance in the temple. You know, you're going to think you see Krishna, but you don't. No, nor should we extend invitations to Mayavadis and atheists, nor accept their invitations, for by such intermingling, we may become affected by their atheistic mentality. Sangat sanjayate kama. It is the negative injunction of this verse that we should refrain from giving anything or to or accepting anything from the Mayavadis and atheists. Pretty heavy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also warned, Vishayira, Ana Koila Dushta Hoyoman. By eating food prepared by wicked people, by worldly people, sorry, one's mind becomes wicked. Unless one is very advanced, he is unable to utilize everyone's contribution to further the Krishna conscious movement. Of course, the example I use all the time is how Grandfather Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Kripacharya, their mind became wicked. And they tolerated so many things they should never have tolerated, like the disrobing of Draupadi. Therefore, on principle, one should not accept charity from the Mayavadis or atheists. Of course, if we're giving the charity to the Krishna conscious movement, we can do that. It's not that when you're on Sankirtan, someone gives you a donation, and you say, are you a Mayavadi or an atheist? Take your money back. You know, we don't do that, obviously. That would be a little crazy. Indeed, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was forbidden devotees to associate even with ordinary men who are too addicted to material sense gratification. The conclusion is that we should always keep company with devotees, observe the regulated devotional principles, follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, and in full obedience carry out the orders of the spiritual master. In this way, we shall be able to develop our devotional service and dormant Krishna consciousness. The devotee who is neither a neophyte nor a Mahabhagwat, that is a greatly advanced devotee, but is within the middle status of devotional service, is expected to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friends with the devotees, this is a Majjhimadhikari, it's being described, show favor to the ignorant, and reject the jealous and demoniac. In this verse, there is brief mention of the process of making loving transactions with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and making friends with the devotees. So, in other words, Prabhupada is also applying the Dadati Pratigrunati principles to our relationship with Krishna. It's interesting. Relationship with Krishna, relationship with devotees, relationship with people in general, preaching. I mean, it's really, he's taking this like 360 here. According to the Dadati principle, an advanced devotee is supposed to spend at least 50% of his income on the service of the Lord and his devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami is such an example in his life. When he decided to retire, he distributed 50% of his life's earnings to Krishna's service and 25% to his relatives and kept 25% for personal emergencies. This example should be followed by all devotees. Whatever one's income, 50% should be spent on behalf of Krishna and his devotees, and this will fulfill the demands of Dadati. In the next verse, Srila Rupa Goswami informs us what kind of Vaishnava should be selected as a friend and how Vaishnavas should be served. So this is a little controversial point about dividing one's income up. Devotees have discussed this for ages, saying, well, is that division based upon after my expenses or before my expenses? You know, in other words, net income or gross income. And so, I don't have an answer for that. Because if you say net income, then you could just come up with all these expenses that may be unnecessary. And then your net income will be like $10 a year. And then you just, all right, 50% Krishna can have. So you have to be careful about this income thing. But obviously you should take care of your basic expenses. I mean, it's not that, like, if you just barely have enough to pay your rent, you should give 50% away, and then you won't be able to pay your rent or pay your mortgage, and you'll lose your house. But I would say net after you've made your basic expenses. Not your, what do they call it, elective expenses. There's elective expenses and expenses that you have to make, like food and water and shelter and all everything like that. And so when you've done your basic expenses, then you should examine your net and divide it up in some way, at least practically, so that it's spent on preaching. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to put it all in the hundi, in the temple box, in the temple hundi, but at least, you know, spend on preaching. You know, you may buy like 25 cases of Bhagavad-gitas and give it to the devotees, distribute it to the hotels or do something like that. So that's preaching too. So there's many different things you can do with your money in that way. What's that? Or the, yeah, that school project. It's not an advertisement. Or to some poor sannyasi. So, poor starving sannyasi. But actually, Prabhupada said we have to be very careful with money. Like if a sannyasi receives money, or anything, he has to be careful not to misspend a farthing. Like we were talking about that yesterday, about, you know, airfares, for example, you know, that, you know, if I got enough money, should I spend it on first class or business class airfare? I'm thinking this money is Krishna's money. You know, we just try to save money. I spend, when I purchase a ticket, I don't have someone who does it for me. I spend some time on the internet comparing the different prices and different days that you travel to minimize the expenses, because it's not, it's Krishna's money. I mean, we have to be very careful not to farthing. Of course, for those of you who don't know what that means, not a penny, or like a, you know, tenth of a penny or a hundredth of a penny should be misspent. So the money has to be really carefully protected. That was Prabhupada's philosophy and how Prabhupada dealt with it. And if you look at the early days in Prabhupada's movement, he kept a diary of every penny that he spent. You can actually see that diary. It's online. And there's actually a book that devotees published with copies of the pages of the diary. That if you bought a banana, you'd see like three bananas. You know, in those times, bananas were much cheaper. Now it's a dollar a banana or something like that. But, you know, three bananas or some spices at the spice shop. There was a complete record of every single penny Prabhupada spent. Because Prabhupada realized that money was Krishna's energy, Lakshmi. Prabhupada was very careful about protecting Krishna's energy. I mean, for example, if he looked and saw a room where the light was on or the fan was on and nobody was in the room, Prabhupada would get very angry. He said, you know, who do you think this belongs to? And Prabhupada said, you know, it's like losing blood. So, you know, money has to be very, very, I mean, it's, devotees have to be very, very careful when they're dealing with money. Especially money that's given for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. And there has to be accountability. I mean, the temple should publish some accounts, basic accounts, so people know that the money's not being spent on something that's unnecessary. So, very important point. And then people will contribute more to the Krishna conscious movement if they know that, isn't it? I mean, I know in some temples, not here, you know, somewhere else, the people say, I'm not giving any money to the temple. If I give something, I'll give paint to paint the building, or I'll give the jewelry for the deities, or I'll pay for an outfit to be made, but, you know, I'm not going to give money directly because I don't trust. Or it won't be spent for what I give it for. That's really important, too. Okay. Any questions? Quick. No bicycling today.
With the point about division of money.
Yeah.
You know, can it be argued that well, as devotees, all the money we're using is for Krishna service anyway. Like we're making prasadam, we buying clothes, we're using the clothes for the temple.
Yeah, but you really have to be careful that it doesn't go too far. You know.
Hmm.
You know, I need a different sari for each day of the week so I appear beautiful in front of the deities.
Mm.
You know, I'm one of Krishna's gopis. And I definitely need a lot of gold chains. Because Prabhupada said gold is auspicious. It makes you healthy, you know. So you know, you can you have to be careful not to justify overconsumption. Yeah, you can definitely justify overconsumption.
Mm-hmm. The other question I have is, you know, when we go to the Sunday feast or when we chant together, then, you know, well, what about the karma beads and dhyana beads then of the responders who are chanting?
You're protected. Yeah, I mean, don't worry. I mean, it's not that you go to the Sunday feast and you have some nice devotee leading the kirtan, and other people are responding and say, oh my God, they're new guests, I can't hear their chanting. you can't be too fanatic about those principles. The main thing is not to go to kirtans whereby people are not following the Krishna conscious process. Mm-hmm. Or people are Mayavadis. You know, I know a lot of devotees, for example, who listen to Krishna Das's kirtans. And then some temple stores even sell them. I don't know if they do here, but some temple stores actually sell. And Krishna Das, you know, not disrespecting him, but he's a disciple of Nim Karoli Baba. And he's not a Vaishnava. And he eats meat. And his kirtans are some of the most popular kirtans amongst the devotees, isn't it? Maybe not here, but in other places. You've never heard of him before?
Yeah, I have. He's not popular here.
He's not popular in New Zealand. Or even devotees. Many devotees have gone to see him to hug Amma. I mean, many of them are brahmacharis. They want to get hugged by Amma. I want to get spiritual. You know, I have to chant my rounds better, so I need a big hug from Amma.
And then the other question is, you know, the devotee who is leading in the temple, you have doubts about them, like they might not be following the principles.
But they shouldn't be allowed to leave, at least the Sunday feast. I mean, they can come another time and, you know, give some devotion to the deities. But anyone who leads or gives class, like Prabhupada said, you know, one who gives Bhagavatam class must be free from sex desire. I mean, at least externally, they have to be controlling it. So the same thing with people lead kirtan. It's just the same as giving class. You know, you just don't have people leading kirtan who will contaminate the devotees.
And then when you don't go to the Sunday feast because of that reason, then devotees go, okay, you're blue, you're not coming to the temple anymore.
That's all right. You have to be callous. I mean, if you're worried about people's opinion, of course, the interesting thing about Indian culture, everyone's worried about reputation, opinion, what people say behind my back. But, you know, we have to come to the point of not giving a damn about it after a while. Because if you're just always controlled about what people think, you're never going to do the right thing. You know, because the vast majority will probably be against Krishna consciousness. Like when I joined the movement, my mother was very concerned about what her friends thought. So I had to come in disguise to visit her and tell her friends that I had been in Israel and joined a kibbutz. You know what a kibbutz is? No one knows what that is?
Jewish commune.
That's a Jewish commune. It's a Jewish commune in Israel, you know, where they all live together in communal living. And her friends actually asked me, how was Israel? And I just had to say, it was great. You know, so you really just have to get to the point of not worrying. So what? You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So people can say so many things about me, or like Prabhupada said, let the jackals howl, the caravan will pass. Mm. So, I mean, that's one thing in Indian culture I see that's very worried about what people are going to say. Very, very worried. Western culture, they're not worried, they just think. But, you know, it has to be, I mean, obviously we want people to respect Krishna consciousness, we're worried about that. We don't want people to disrespect us because the preaching gets ruined. You know, they say sannyasi should be like a white sheep, you know, there's a spot, everyone will criticize. But this over-concern with reputation is not that good. Or with what people are saying behind my back. That's their problem. It's not my problem that people are talking about me behind my back. Isn't it? So, there'll be a little detachment from these things.
Right.
Yeah.
What association is this? If you have Prabhupada's some very strong association, atheists and Mayavadis. What about Vaishnavs, other sects, like
Shri? No, we can associate with them because they're not atheists or Mayavadis. They believe in Vishnu.
We have a temple of Narayan branches open up. Can we go there?
Well, I would say if people are not inimical, I mean, they're obviously not Mayavadis, I mean, they're Vaishnavas. But if their intention, for a long time, the intention of many members of their movement was to actually steal people from ISKCON, telling devotees in ISKCON they had a better thing. The reason you haven't experienced the higher dimensions of bhakti yoga is because, you know, your guru is not really on the higher level. He's a nice guy, of course. But, you know, you need to just go and hear about Radha and Krishna and all those other things like that. So I think if the criticism is there, then we shouldn't associate it. Because that, you know, that shows envy. But if it's just live and let live, like, I mean, for example, I go to the Balaji temple in Tirupati, they're very respectful. I don't try to preach to them, you know, give up your worship of Balaji and just dance and chant in the street. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, but he went to Sri Rangam and he convinced Venkatabhata and Prabhupada Saraswati and also, of course, little Gopal Bhatta Goswami to become Gaudiya Vaishnavas instead of Sri Vaishnavas. You know, he had this whole argument about with them. That, you know, why is your Lakshmi not able to enter the rasa dance in spite of wanting to enter the rasa dance? But generally, we shouldn't do that. We should respect. I mean, you go to a Christian church, you don't say, hey, you know, you guys are off the wall here, you know, your philosophy is bad. It's just like when you go to someone's home, and that was the problem I had with the Narayan Maharaj followers. They would come into ISKCON and criticize ISKCON. I mean, if you go to someone's home, you don't criticize the owner of the home. In your own home, you can criticize any other damn person you want. But it shows a lack of human culture. Not even a problem with spirituality, but not even basic human etiquette or manners when people do that. And so they would do that. And there's other people outside of ISKCON who do the same thing. And I'm not going to go through all the names. You know, just live and let live. You know, we love all people of all different religions. If they don't criticize us and we don't criticize them, we can make friendship and associate. And maybe we can do some festivals together, whatever. But if it turns into, you know, I'm better than you, and they're looking, I mean, primarily their members all came from ISKCON. Not all, but, you know, the majority of their members came from ISKCON. Taking ISKCON disgruntled or, you know, confused devotees away by this devious propaganda that they had something better to offer. And also there was an introduction of too much hearing about Radha and Krishna's loving exchanges, which most devotees are not ready for. I mean, I've seen many devotees, I mean, you go to Radha Kund and you see these people who are tricked by the Babaji's, and they don't know the ABCs of devotional service, yet they're gopis now. You know, they're living at Radha Kund, and it's just like, huh? And the Babaji's, not only do they criticize ISKCON, the Babaji's are right, many of the Babaji's, not all of them, that's worse than these other Gaudiya organizations. They criticize Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they said he never had initiation. He said, so you're not connected in ISKCON. If you had a real follower of Bhakti Vinod Thakur is the lead Prasad Thakur, who is Bhakti Vinod Thakur's other son. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called him Sahajabai. It means cheap brother. Yeah, he even said that. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused to offer obeisances to Vipini Bihari Goswami, who was Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Diksha Guru. And the reason he refused to even go close to him is that Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has taken a vow not to go within 50 meters of a Sahaja. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very heavy. He was like Nrisimha Guru. He got kicked out of Jagannath Puri because he was opposing a bogus chanting, like this Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. There was something Nitai Charan and Das Babaji. And because he opposed that, he got kicked out. And that should be our mood, very, very strict. But if someone is actually Vaishnava, preaching the right thing, why not that friendship? You know, like, for example, in our Vrindavan temple, the head pujari is a disciple of Narayan Maharaj. But he's accepted Prabhupada's guidance as his primary guidance. And he never, obviously he doesn't, he's a good friend of mine. He never does any politics. You know, he has perfect etiquette. His name is Mukunda. Has anyone met him? He's a wonderful, pure Vaishnava. So in those cases, there's no problem. It's when people have to offend, people have to do politics that we have problems. So you have to judge, you know, if they're doing politics. Because ultimately, their organization will be amalgamated into ISKCON. Ultimately, it will happen. It may take 10, 20, 30 years because their organization is disintegrating and they're fighting amongst each other. Mm. Because it's based on a charismatic leader. Mm. And the charismatic dynamic is not good as far as keeping an organization together. It's great for starting an organization. But as far as keeping an organization together, there has to be something called the routinization of charisma. This is a study of sociology of religion. And then, you know, ISKCON went through its, you know, trials and tribulations in that way. Because like when Prabhupada left, it was thought that here are the next acharyas, you know, the 11 people, and everybody else was minimized in the whole Hare Krishna movement. I mean, you could have been a disciple of Prabhupada, a pure devotee, it didn't matter. You had to become practically a disciple of your God brother. That's the way it was. And there, you know, you had to worship him along with, or else you were kicked out of the Hare Krishna movement. And I'd say in every case, but it was a pretty heavy time. I mean, I tell the devotees, anyway, I should go around the internet, I won't tell the story. But anyway, it was a very heavy time. You know, simultaneous Guru Puja to Prabhupada, you had to become, if you wanted to remain in ISKCON, you had to become the disciple of your God brother. If you wanted to go from one zone to another, you had to get a visa, permission from the local guru. Especially if you were a sannyasi, or if you were another guru, I mean, just, you couldn't do that. I mean, you just had to, anyway, you had to have a special pass, a visa pass. So, anyway, so ISKCON went through its period like that, where we were trying to appoint acharyas rather than ordinary gurus. Prabhupada didn't want us to appoint acharyas. He wanted us to have gurus working under the GBC, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to. There's a difference between acharya and guru. Acharya means the head of the whole organization. A guru means one who works in the organization cooperatively with other gurus, and that's what Prabhupada wanted. So eventually we came to that point. But we went through some really rough times in ISKCON.
In the 80s.
In the 80s, you know, those are rough times. You know, really, really rough times. And, you know, for many of us, I mean, as many people left ISKCON because of those rough times. But ISKCON survived and it's become stronger. But, you know, you have these other organizations, their guru leaves and they don't have that. The GBC. We came stronger than the GBC. We even had a GBC reform. I don't know if any of you know about that. Where there was we had a coup in ISKCON. The senior leaders decided to replace the GBC, some GBC members because, you know, it was a reconstitution of the GBC. So coups aren't necessarily bad. They may be a strategy to establish a more stable situation, like you have in Fiji. I was talking last night to someone who didn't like the Fiji coup. I'm happy that Fiji had the last coup because it was to establish a more stable form, a more democratic form of government, a form in which there wasn't racism. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you need to do something that's not what you really want to be at the end to accomplish a purpose at the end. Emergency rules are different than long-term rules. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so ISKCON had his coup. We had a 50-man committee. We were meeting to overthrow the system of the acharyas. I was a member of the committee. We were meeting like every week. We had these big meetings of many senior leaders. You know, Vindra Swaroop Prabhu was there. I was there. Trevor Crown Maharaj was there, a number of people were there, and we had these meetings. And this is our committee, you know, to have a coup. So I was part of the coup. Yeah, the coup leader. So we had a peaceful coup. But the interesting thing is that when many of the gurus and people in who we were having a coup against saw that the coup was so strong, they decided to join the coup. I don't know if you know that. They said, ooh, they're going to win. Okay, we're on your side. Let's change things in this guy. So basically, we had the majority of the GBC by the time the coup was done. Because, you know, what did they say? If you can't beat them, join them. So, you know, you have to, that's intelligence. So that was this kind of history. I mean, there's a lot more. If you really want to know, all of us got history. Ravindra Saru Prabhu was actually given a series of seminars on, it's on the internet. You know, I think it's called Reform in ISKCON or something like that.
The history of ISKCON.
The history of ISKCON. And I think there's another one, History of Reform in ISKCON or something like that.
It's on ISKCON Desire
Tree. Yeah. So go on ISKCON Desire Tree if you want to hear the whole history. It's very interesting what we had to go through. And, you know, now we have extremely stable society. I mean, we have arguments, but, like, can there be women gurus? Can there be not be women gurus?
Has that been resolved yet?
No. Can women give class or cannot women give class? I mean, these arguments are going on because you have your conservatives, Orthodox, Reform people. But, you know, we've resolved to stay together. So ISKCON is not breaking up now. It's in the long term, it's going to continue because we have this cooperative, and we have modern systems of management and strategic planning we're integrating into ISKCON management. And so it's stable now. But if you just stay at the charismatic phase, the movement falls apart after your charismatic leader leaves the planet. And that's what we're seeing in many other organizations. It's based on one person, and there's no continuity. Because then his followers fight as to who can be the next leader, which happened in the Gaudiya Math. Exactly. Okay, I think we're not going to bicycle today, unfortunately. Maybe we can ride the bicycle around this room a few times.
We went to the choosing ceremony.
Okay.
Still
asleep. Nima, you want to choose grains today? We could do after I do the puja, maybe.
Yeah, she'll be up by then, hopefully. If she's not, then anytime for the day.
We'll have someone else choose for her. We have a surrogate. You know what a surrogate is? we can let Arjuna choose.
That'd be nice.
He can choose what he wants. All right, yeah, so let's say sometime during the day or whatever.
Exactly.
We'll figure it out. She has to be awake sometime during the day, right? Okay, I guess that's it. We got to take care of the deeds. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's the last class today, of course.